form, which resembled a great python. The boys thought it must be a beautiful scenic spot of Vrindavan. Thereafter, they imagined it to be similar to the mouth of a great python. In other words, the boys, unafraid, thought it was a statue made in the shape of a great python for the enjoyment of their pastimes. Purport, some of the boys, upon seeing this wonderful phenomenon, thought it was in fact a python, and they were fleeing from the spot. But others said, "Why are you fleeing? It is not possible that a python like this is staying here. This is a spot of beauty for sporting." This is what they imagined. Hare Krishna. Where's the place where this happened? It's not Kamivan, is it? We're near there? Anyway, very beautiful place. The various places of Krishna's pastimes each have their special moods. So, of course, every place in Krishna's dham is beautiful, but there are some places that have special beauty. And you don't expect to see a horrible snake lying on the road. Here sometimes we see snakes, but it's expected. We're warned. If you don't perform Govardhan Puja properly, the snakes will come and bite you. We're warned. And therefore, hardly anybody actually gets bit by a snake. People were aware of them and be careful about snakes. But there are other places where you don't expect to see a snake. Especially a snake 8 miles long. You don't expect that danger. This is a beautiful picnic forest. So therefore the boys are assuming that this must just be like in a playground, maybe an elephant or a crocodile statue with swings on it or a sliding pond, just part of the park equipment. So they're assuming that this is just another plaything for them. This is a playground, this must be another plaything. Few of the boys thought it was really a snake, but they were argued against. They were told, no, it can't be. Anyway, these boys, they completely trust Krishna, even if it is a real snake, even if it's actually quite dangerous for them to walk right into the mouth of this snake. They trust Krishna so much that they don't feel danger, even if that's the case. They don't think that they're in danger. Why can't we trust Krishna that much? And not ever have to lose our wits and feel that we're helpless and unprotected. We so easily lose our confidence and start panicking because we don't trust Krishna enough. We're not subjected to the same severe, usually, to the same severe tests that the Vrajavasis had to undergo. So many demons attacking. You know, we're distraught at the landlord wants to kick us out. He wants to raise the rent. We think it's the end of the world. But Krishna's dear devotees in Vrindavan are exposed to much worse harassment. Demons trying to kill them and to kill their beloved Krishna and Balaram. All the time, every day, some demons are coming like that. In that condition, still they completely trust Krishna. They don't lose their confidence, they don't panic. This comes from complete faith. Krishna, this is Sharanagati, taking complete shelter of Krishna, which at least I haven't done yet. I panic because I have not really taken shelter of Krishna. Pratikulyasya sankalpa. Pratikulyasya varajana. Krishna rakshasiti vishvaso gopdvitve varanam tata. Atma. What? Nikshepa. Karpanye. Chatvidar Sharanagatihi. This is Rupa Goswami's own verse, I think. or he's quoting from something in the Bhaktivinoda Sindhu, his definition of enumeration and definition of the six aspects of actually taking shelter of Krishna. The Ramanujis, the original Ramanujis, not the Ramanandis, but the original Sampradaya, they have a concept of Sharanagati that is very important for them. Because they say that Bhakti Yoga is an ancient system, it's a very difficult discipline. The kind of Bhakti Yoga Krishna is talking about in the Gita, or that is described in the Pancharatras. In Kali Yuga, their doctrine is, practically speaking, regular Bhakti Yoga is impractical. It's too difficult to discipline. And therefore, all we can do is depend on Sharanagati. Just take shelter of Krishna and rely on his protection. Because we have no strength to practice yoga in this age. Guru Goswami is using the same concept of Sharanagati. But to him, it means someone who is mature in devotional service. Yasmin stito na dukena gurunapi vichalyate. When you're actually fixed in devotional service, that even the most terrible trouble will not disturb you. That is the quality of someone who has achieved the stage of Sharanagati, of actually Sharanapatti, actually having come to the stage of awareness or a stage of confidence that you can depend completely on Krishna. That no, Krishna, nothing can hurt you because Krishna is protecting you. Even if no one else is. Even if no one's helping you and no one's cooperating with you. Krishna is. If you trust that, then you've achieved Sharanagati. But these are the six qualities, or you can say six activities, that make up taking shelter. They're activities. Accepting everything favorable for your service. You may not like it. You may not like the taste of Karela. But you may not like having it in your dal and in all the sabjis. But you should take some Karela, something bitter, for your health. You accept it for your service. You accept getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning for your service. It's good for your spiritual life. You accept it. And pratikul yasya marjanam. Put aside everything, even if you like it, even if you've done it all your life, it's second nature to you, you can't live without it, learn how to live without it, if it's unfavorable to your devotional progress. And then third, Krishna Rakshasiti, the idea that Krishna is going to protect me. Iti Vishwaso, confidence that Krishna will protect me. And then Goptutve Varanam. So deciding that I'm sold out servant of Krishna. I belong to him, I have no independent interests. And therefore, even if he doesn't protect me, that's his business. He wants to sell me for slaughter, let him do it. What can I do? I'm his sold out creature. And then Atma Nikshepa. This term is used by Manu in the Manu Smriti, Swayambhuva Manu. Nikshepa then becomes a legal term, although it originally comes from the Dharma Shastras. It means a deposit. They didn't have, in ancient times, government banks or private banks. If you needed to put something away for, you're going on a trip, and you don't want to carry your jewelry with you, you're afraid someone will rob your house, so you go to a goldsmith or some reliable merchant in the town, and you deposit with him your property. It's an act, a pious act, to accept the deposit. Maybe there's some small payment for the service. But there's laws about it. If the person with whom you've deposited something cheats you, doesn't give it back when you come back, or lies to you about it, then it's a very serious crime, according to the Dharma Shastras. the trust of having to put something in deposit with a trustworthy person, that trust is taken very seriously. That's the idea of nikshepa. A serious commitment that someone has left something in your care. So you're putting in Krishna's care your life and soul, and you're turning over all responsibility to him. And you expect that he'll take care. He won't throw it away. And he'll use it in your interest. That is the trust of depositing something with Krishna. Depositing your life and soul in Krishna's bank. And then karpanye. Wretchedness, or actually utter humility. Giving up all pride. All pride. False pride, true pride, giving it all up. You may have a good reason to be proud. Don't be proud anyway. Because it's contrary to the development of first-class devotional service. In the last volume, last chapters of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Narada is instructing Gopakumar, who is not satisfied even living in Vaikuntha. He gives him the hint, and he has to do this very confidentially, because he's in Vaikuntha. It could stir up some hostility. He's preaching that there's a better place. But he pulls Gopakumar over to the side and tells him there is a better place than this. And he tells him about it, Gokula, Goloka. And he tells him how he can enter Goloka. What is the qualification for entering? Dainya. Karpanya. Same thing. Utter humility. When you don't think yourself anything special, when you don't think you deserve any special treatment, then that is qualification for actually entering Vrajadham. Every real resident of this place possesses this qualification of Dainyam. Just like you assume that all the tourists on vacation in a certain spot on the beach in Thailand, but they've somehow gotten their airline tickets and visas. They didn't just, you know, cross the ocean on a raft or swim. They actually made proper arrangements. You can assume this. You know, tourists don't do that. Maybe refugees, but tourists don't just throw themselves in a rickety canoe and cross the Indian Ocean. They flew in, they paid for their tickets, they have visas. We assume this. So you assume that someone who's gotten into Vrindavan, who's a resident of Vrindavan, he must have made this arrangement of being equipped with dainya. Utter humility. Those who try to enter Vraja without it, they can stay for a little while, but they'll be kicked out or even killed. Just like these demons who enter to try to do harm. Materialists who just want to exploit and enjoy, they can also enter temporarily, but not for long. They'll be kicked out also. They'll get some benefit, suffer some reactions for their offenses, and be pushed out by Yogamaya. To get actual entrance, permanent residence, in Vrajadham, we have to have dainyam, utter humility. Otherwise, you can't stay. So anyway, these devotees all have these qualifications. The cowherd boys, they're fully surrendered to Krishna. They depend on him completely, and they're ready to just for sport to walk inside a huge serpent's mouth and see what Krishna does about it. They have that much confidence in him. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments? This one. Does he really say that? If he says that, he's saying it poetically. I mean, they're not literally the same thing. But it just means, that's just poetically way of saying you can't have one without the other. It's a poetic way of saying that there can't be one without the other. But it doesn't mean that they're exactly the same, literally. You can say it, but then you're using a poetic device. Because B cannot exist without A, then you can say poetically that A and B are the same. But they're not really the same. Yeah, no, please. Okay.
Starts from dynium.
Wow.
Okay. Who does that? Starts from dynium.
I didn't know that, and I can't off the top of my head say why. I guess he wants to get down to business and not talk about preliminaries, but push us ahead to the... If you have dynium, then everything else, all other qualifications come. But it's not easy to have. He's just pushing. Just get dynium, you don't need anything else. I'd have to read it to be able to explain better. Yes, ma'am?
They even accept that this might be a serpent, so let's see what Krishna does.
Yes.
So somebody may see it as a kind of a they're misusing Krishna's protective nature by kind of making him protect them, even though they could have avoided snakes or something. You know, like some thought may come. Of course, we understand that they are fully pure. Nevertheless, somebody may think
it is wrong to exploit Krishna. It's foolish to try to exploit Krishna for material purposes. But this is not a material purpose. For Krishna's pastimes, for carrying out the plan of Krishna's pastimes, anything is okay. So, if they're manipulating Krishna, they're just doing it so that the pastime that's supposed to happen can happen. It's for the Leela, it's not for any material purpose. Therefore, it's excusable, it's actually all right. You can do anything to Krishna if that's going to further his pastimes rather than your material purposes.
So, you can say that they were inspired by Yogamaya.
Yeah, Yogamaya. Yes, this is Yogamaya's arrangement. It's for the Leela. Senior devotees who have given their whole life, many decades for Krishna's service, we owe them a debt. It's irresponsible to just tell them, oh, depend on Krishna, we're not going to do anything for you. You know, if you don't have respect for your parents and your elders, then what are you? You're not civilized. If you don't take care of your elders, So, no, those devotees should be taken care of. But I would suggest it's probably more economical to send them to a devotee farm and take care of them than to, you know, spend millions of dollars to set up a social system. You know, better than paying taxes to the government is set up an arrangement where we take care of our own devotees when they get old. It's cheaper. But it should be done, not just talked about, but done. Yeah.
In other words, we cannot tell devotees not to become a Krishna, but we cannot replace Krishna. We cannot replace our care with Krishna's protection.
It's our responsibility. We're supposed to be a society that's function as a real society. Society takes care of its elders. It takes care of the those who are old and can't take care of themselves and need help. It takes care of the children, the women. Not that the GBC has to do everything, but as a society, we have to take care of devotees. Maybe individual devotees have to take initiative for this. Prabhupada wanted farms, he wanted rural communities. So if and when they're properly developed, this is a major function, a place where old devotees can go and be taken care of. It's just human civilization in a village. There's extended families, and the elders are taken care of. If you don't do that, you're not civilized. You know, when you say join the society and, you know, stay in it for the rest of your life, then there should be some care. We're asking someone to give their whole life, and then we just dump them when they're not useful. That's not good. You know, we feed our brahmacharis and give them a place to stay. So when they get old, it's not to just kick them out in the street. When they can't carry a book bag anymore, just kick them out.
That's our concern now. Most of the places now in Bangladesh, we want to protect because of the future, because we realize that in 10 years they're going to be probably useless for such an extra service and food distribution. They may be useful for many months.
Useful for just being advisors and elders. So these are the most valuable devotees, the ones who have experience. Anyway.
So I have to ask this question about the four days of the stars from Dhyana goes backwards, at least, not nowadays. I think Bhakti Dhyana has the most discussed of four days. And because of the interesting answer, that these two sequences slightly from that what's Kuyas and Kuyas and
yes. Yes. Or if you let me give a different explanation of the same thing. Dhyanam is the hardest and it takes the most work to accomplish since you get started on it right away. It's going to take your whole life to develop it, so get started now. Deal with it first.
I may not remember something exactly, but that was the point of this sequences, couple of different levels of consciousness.
Just like if a new person comes, you know, he's a little curious about Krishna consciousness. But he's got a chip on his shoulder, he thinks he knows everything. So the first thing you have to do is to nudge that chip off his shoulder and get him willing to listen. If he thinks he knows everything, he's not going to listen. So that dynam has to be developed in that person in the beginning. A little bit of honest humility. Maybe I don't know everything. Even for a person who's, you know, not even a devotee yet, just a little curious, he's got to work on it. But there's a whole gamut of dynam. Starting with that, being willing to listen, up to the point of absolute humility. You have to work along that whole gamut.
So it looks like all the six qualities of Dhyana are all dynamic, different.
Okay.
Because to follow something voluntarily takes some courage, takes some humility, except that my own desire to do it is to make someone special.
Yes, but you shouldn't ignore the other ones because you might have a false kind of dynium. I'm a rascal, I'm useless, but I can't follow the principles, what can I do? You know, and you just go on excusing yourself. That's not real dynium. If that's not real dynium, it's not transcendental qualification. If you're saying I'm so useless that I can't even try to follow regular principles. So you do have to pay attention to particulars of origin.
I guess you want to explain one of the lectures, and then you might explain many types of lectures. So Dhamma refers to the self-inflicted pain, which runs like an intense fire, which runs through the world.
It doesn't have to be pain.
I mean, but it's self-inflicted.
Intense concentration. Even repentance, these ideas of pain and repentance, those are Christian ideas. You know, and when Prabhupada translates using English terms, those words carry the Christian baggage with them, penance and austerity. But they're really not part of what tapas means. You know, it doesn't have to be pain and it doesn't have to be remorse. It can be happily performed. But it has to be intense discipline and concentration. Yes. Burning, yeah. No, it's there. Bhardwaj Thakur says it's there. It's there. I'm not going to argue with Bhardwaj Thakur. Yes, sir. I don't know if I can repeat all of that. It's a little complicated. Anyway, we have to get another microphone. Sharanagati is equal to faith. How's that? Oh yeah, Sharanagati is expression of faith. If you have faith, you should trust Krishna. Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.